just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help!
Stressed? Need to talk? Call Help Center, a peer counseling and crisis intervention hotline at the University of Maryland. Help Center is here to listen. No issue is too big or too small. We are here for you. Help Center offers anonymous and confidential hotline phone calls and walk-in services, free anonymous pregnancy testing, and free condoms. Call 301-314-HELP or stop by Help Center on the third floor of South Campus Diner today. You are not alone. Won't you please, please
help me? Hi, this is Joey Ramone of the Ramones, and you can hear the best in rock and roll right here on WMUC-FM in College Park, FM 88.
This is Ari, and you're listening to Halcyon Days. I had Joey Ramone of the legendary New York-based punk band, The Ramones, say our station ID today. But unfortunately, we will not be talking about the punk rock movement. We are talking about something that is related to it, and that is the new wave of British heavy metal. Now, what is all of that? It was a nationwide musical movement in the UK that started in the mid-70s, to the early 80s, and it achieved international attention. This genre is best remembered for infusing earlier heavy metal with the intensity of punk rock to produce fast and aggressive songs. The best way that I can describe it to people who aren't familiar is if you take Sabbath's foundational stuff, as in Black Sabbath of Aussie fame, which was maybe 5 to 10 years old around the time that the new wave of British heavy metal was taking off, and then you make it louder and heavier. None of the bands in this movement really sound like each other, but somehow they all fit under the umbrella. And the most directly influenced bands would be thrash metal bands like Metallica and Megadeth, who we actually talked about last episode. I'm contradicting myself in all sorts of ways, because even though this is going to be a British heavy metal show, we're actually going to start off by talking about a German band called Scorpions. The first track that I'm going to be playing today is off of one of their very early albums, maybe their first, called Taken by Force. This one came out in 77, and it actually predates the New Wave movement. And then the second track that we'll play, that one really broke them into the mainstream in the US. They ended up transitioning into more commercial, easy listening as they started to release more albums. But me, my dad, and my brother, my dad, who will be joining us a bit later, we are all big fans of their first few albums, where the pairing of singer Klaus Meine and lead guitarist Uli John Roth works super well. Scorpion's sound is close enough to the new wave of British heavy metal, but it's close enough that I felt comfortable including them in this show. I really just wanted an excuse to play The Sails of Charon. And in the top hit live performance for the song, you can see how nonchalant and unbothered Uli is as he shreds through super fast pentatonic licks. I literally used him to describe the concept of aura farming to my dad because he's just that cool. We're actually planning to see Uli when he comes to Ram's Head in Annapolis later this year. April, I believe it is. So without further ado, this is The Sails of Charon and No One Like You, both by Scorpions.
Thank you.
Scorpions make a good counterbalance to the new wave of British heavy metal, so keep in mind what those first two songs sounded like as we get into the heavier stuff. And I have my very special guest with me here.
Hello, and this is Derek, Ari's dad, and joining her for yet another show. So we kicked off the show with Scorpions, and it's a perfect segue, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, to Motorhead. And Motorhead was the first significant exponent of the new wave of heavy metal. And they were the first band to really implement the crossover sound of punk and heavy metal. I mean, the music was really fast and really loud, and they had an uncompromising attitude. And they were actually welcomed almost equally by heavy metal fans and by punks. Motorhead was supported by many of the new wave of British heavy metal bands on tour, and they were also the first metal act in the UK to have a number one album on the UK charts, and that was their live album No Sleep Till Hammersmith in 1981. But you know, very raw and punk and loud, unabashed sound, and they were led by Lemmy.
Yeah, and I have more to say about Lemmy. He is the lead singer and bassist of Motorhead. The first time I heard Ace of Spades, which is the first song of Motorhead's that I'm going to be playing, I was shocked that this guy, of all people, managed to front a band. But as I continued listening to Motorhead, I started to get it. Lemmy's raspy voice and carefree attitude are perfect for the music and embody the attitude of the band itself. Now, as a bass player myself, I tend to hone in on some of the techniques that different bass players use. And for Lemmy, what I've realized is that he has a very unconventional approach to the instrument. So instead of playing it like a bass with running lines and melodies and things like that, he actually plays it more like a guitar. So he focuses on chords rather than melodies, which create a foundation that every song is built off of. Sometimes I find it difficult to differentiate the bass from the guitar. Last thing about Lemmy, it's kind of a miracle that he lived as long as he did. Like Ozzy, he leaned so much into the quintessential rock and roll lifestyle that maybe he could have lived to 120, but instead he lived to 76 or something like that. And then finally, a personal anecdote about us, my family. Last year, we went on a heavy metal pilgrimage to LA, and we ended up stopping at Lemmy's Lounge, which is this, or it was called Rainbow Bar and Grill, but then
Rainbow Bar and Grill,
yeah,
yes.
But then unofficially called Lemmy's Lounge because he was there every day, literally every day for the last 20 years of his life, and it is a must see for any rock or metal fan. It blows any hard rock cafe that my family and I have seen out of the water. It's just packed to the brim with photos of rock stars and memorabilia, and the vibe is unmatched.
And one last thing to add is the reason Lemmy was there every day, and you know, he had his own personal bar stool there, is because he lived about 2.5 blocks away, so he was easily stumbling distance from the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
And he was stumbling home every night, I'm sure. All right. Just to close out our Motorhead portion of the show today, this is Ace of Spades off of Ace and Spades, and Overkill off of Overkill.
Here is the book. But that's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever. And don't forget the Joker. I know you got to.
Yes, that was the real ending of Overkill. That song has three fake endings, and it is like the ultimate I Got Your Nose song.
Agreed. It just keeps going, and it's kind of like you're not ready for it to end, and it doesn't. But so the topic of this show is the new wave of British heavy metal, and that genre really started the denim and leather fashion that's so closely identified with heavy metal. And the band that really started this off with Judas Priest, you know, they were kind of the first ones to start off with not necessarily the denim, but the leather and the studs and so forth. And this kind of look and fashion took off with the young headbangers. And if you look back at some of the old clips from the early 80s, you see young males, you know, typically teenagers, maybe young 20s, banging their heads in unison with the metal bands.
Exactly. And Priest is very self-aware of their starting of the whole leather trend. They have a song called Hellbent for Leather. Is that on British Steel?
No, actually, that's on the self-titled album. Or not self-titled. That's the title track for the album, Hellbent for Leather.
Okay. The cover for British Steel and that album do look a little bit similar to each other. But yeah. Speaking specifically about the lead singer of Judas Priest, Rob Halford, the guy who started it all, he joined his sister's boyfriend's struggling band when they were looking for a new lead singer, but little did he know he would transform metal forever and solidify his reputation as the metal god. His words, not mine. Rob gets into these high registers when he sings, and he is almost operatic about it, but he's not to the level of Dio, for example. So last year, my dad and I ended up going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and when I was there, I picked up a copy of Rob's autobiography called Confess. I ended up reading it. I think I finished it in 2 days or something like that. But most of what I know about Priest and him is from that book. It delves into his struggle with his sexuality and the stress that it placed on him as a gay man who was also a public figure and was not out. As far as I know, he's the first and only metal singer from the 70s and 80s to actually come out. Is that correct?
That is correct. I can't think of anybody else. And this was really not a surprise to anyone when it came out, but Rob had already cemented, like I'm on a first name basis with him, but Rob had already cemented his legacy within heavy metal that nobody even cared. I mean, it was just, he was still a beloved figure and he was still the metal god and nobody cared that he was gay.
He's just so cool, honestly. His attitude is amazing. If you watch any of the interviews with him, he's a very laid-back person. Even the interview in which he came out, it was an MTV interview from either 92 or 93 off the top of my head, but you can actually see the exact clip where he decides to make the choice and say it on live television. Really an inspiring moment. And speaking of inspiring, we will be playing Breaking the Law off of the album British Steel, and A Touch of Evil off of the album Painkiller. Painkiller actually came out in 1990, so it is long after the new wave of British heavy metal is over, but we wanted to include a track from Priest's earlier stuff and the later stuff to see how what started off as being part of the new wave of British heavy metal could turn into something even more complex and even harder, if that's possible.
Nobody cares if I live or die. Blame.
a tie between the last band we talked about, Judas Priest, and the band coming up next, Iron Maiden, is that Iron Maiden actually opened for Judas Priest's British Steel Tour in 1980. I remember this being discussed in Rob's autobiography, with him talking about interacting with Maiden's lead singer, Paul Di'Anno, at the time. And also, correction to what I said earlier about Rob Halford's coming out MTV interview. It was actually 98, but he had a side project called 2, which I think put the number in my head. But back to Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden is bassist Steve Harris's band, so everything that they've done is based on his vision and his direction. And once again, coming from the perspective of a bass player, Steve Harris is insane, to put it lightly. He's so cracked. He pioneered what is called the galloping technique, where you use just two fingers, the way that he does it, to play this very fast repeating rhythm. Most people need three fingers to pull off what Steve Harris does with just the conventional two-fingered finger-picking style. I've been working on it. It causes my entire forearm to cramp up, so hats off to him. Interestingly, Maiden has not released a single love song. All of their subject matter is war, history, and folklore-based, and this is a real rarity in metal, especially at the time, as glam metal, which is very sort of love and objectification-centric, was starting to take off. But do you want to talk a little bit about Paul Di'Anno?
Yeah, so I really love the raw sound of Paul Di'Anno's Maiden, you know, but Maiden was, it's somewhat akin to when Ozzy left Sabbath, as far as the musical direction, changing, because they became much more polished when Bruce Dickinson took over. But I do have to throw in, possibly a slight correction about Maiden not having any love songs. One could make the argument that Charlotte the Harlot, which is off of their first album, which was about a woman, tied up in prostitution. And then there's basically the sequel to that song, which is off of The Number of the Beast, called 22 Acacia Avenue, where they try to take Charlotte away from that lifestyle because they're in love with her. But that's, those are both kind of deep tracks, so you might not know that. But so Paul Di'Anno, was very raw and very edgy, and he was let go because of substance abuse reasons. And that's when Bruce Dickinson took over. And band became much more polished and really hit their popularity. They had Number of the Beast and then the Peace of Mind album, both of which broke them and put them over the top, at least in the United States. Number of the Beast actually hit number one as an album in the UK. So do you have anything else you would like to say about
Bruce Dickinson, the side quester of all time? Yes, I do. He's so multifaceted as a person. It's really interesting. He's a professional level fencer, a martial artist, and he actually pilots the Maiden tour plane himself. He also has a whole side project going on. He's just very involved. And on top of all of that,
he breaks the mold of a typical long-haired heavy metal singer.
He does. But I was going to say, on top of all of those three things, he's also still fronting probably the greatest new wave of British heavy metal band to be walking the face of the earth right now. Yeah. But
I guess we won't talk over each other. But the two songs that we're going to play are coming from each era. The first song is Running Free, which is from Maiden's debut album, and that's from the Paul Di'Anno era. And then the second is The Trooper, which is from the Bruce Dickinson era and one of their most popular tracks.
I would argue that The Trooper is actually Maiden's most popular track and is the most easily recognizable to a casual metal listener or a rock fan.
We'll be right back.
My love affair with Def Leppard began as I was preparing for the 2024 Collegiate Nationals powerlifting competition. I was visiting my hometown in upstate New York, and I got a day pass for a gym there. While I was mid-lift, I ended up taking off my headphones, and I heard the song playing over the loudspeakers, and immediately, I was hooked. That song was, in fact, Rock of Ages from Def Leppard's massive 1983 album Pyromania. This is my number one favorite album of all time, followed very closely by Van Halen 1. I don't know of any other band that pulls off the Def Leppard style in the way that they do. They layer so many voices over each other in the chorus, so even if the song starts off kind of quiet, the chorus ends up sounding very full and very loud, not in an overbearing way, but in a very melodic kind of way. Interesting aside about Def Leppard, or the drummer for Def Leppard specifically, Rick Allen, he lost his right arm after getting thrown out of the sunroof of his car. I believe he was drunk driving when it happened. The year was 84, so they were mid-Pyromania tour when this happened. They tried to reattach the arm, it didn't work out, and so he resolved to continue playing the drums, and his band members were very supportive of him the entire time, and they actually ended up coming out with a follow-up album, Hysteria, in 87. Very interestingly, also, Rick Allen plays a modified electronic drum kit where it's partially acoustic and partially electronic, and then his left foot has three pedals compared to the usual two. I'm not a drummer, unfortunately. And then my dad also has a very personal connection to Def Leppard.
Yeah, so Ari just talked about when her love affair with Def Leppard began. And my kinship with Def Leppard started right when their first album came out. You know, my fandom of hard rock and heavy metal started when I was 14, 15 years old. And I guess it was about the time that I was a senior in high school, 17, 18, that Def Leppard's On Through the Night album came out. And I was struck by the album, you know, musically, but then I was even more so struck by the fact that the guys were about my age. Rick Allen, you know, was born in the same year that I was born in, and it was kind of like, wow, these guys could do it, you know. We could theoretically do it also, although I wasn't a musician and whatnot. But they were the first band that I liked that was my age, you know. And of course, as you get older, this becomes not a rare, commonplace. And then sooner or later, you're older than most bands. But that was the very first time that that I saw a metal band that I liked that was my age.
And then, speaking of the metamorphosis of Def Leppard through the years, my dad loves their first and second albums a lot. I like their third album, being Pyromania. Their fourth album, Hysteria, is also pretty good. We will not be playing anything from those first two albums. We're going to be playing Rock of Ages, which I mentioned started it all for me, first. And then second, Rocket, off of Hysteria. One thing to note about the songs on Hysteria is that they are a little bit slower because Rick Allen was not able to play to the same capacity that he was on those first couple albums with just one arm. And Joe Elliott's voice ended up changing a whole lot. You won't hear it here, unfortunately, because the change had already occurred. But if you go and you listen to either of those first two albums, you'll see that his voice becomes more intense, powerful, you could say. But I will be back right after Rock of Ages to close out the episode, and then we'll go into Rocket. This has been the new wave of British heavy metal. Thank you so much for listening to Halcyon Days. My name is Ari. I will be here same time next week, 5 to 6 p.m., to talk about top tracks. That's what I've decided to call the episode. It'll be non-metal things that I've really enjoyed the past year and a half. I feel like this has been such a departure from the music that I previously played on the show as an undergrad, and so I wanted to cushion the blow just a little bit. I will close out today by playing Rocket, once again, off of Def Leppard's 1987 Hysteria album. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next week.